But I haven't got a single reading this morning. I'm going to look at four texts of scriptures. Don't worry, it won't be long. Just four texts of scriptures. The scriptures, and I want to start in the book of Habakkuk. Now that's on page 941 in the Chapel Bibles. Page 941, the book of Habakkuk. If you're looking at the prophets, towards the end of the Old Testament, very close to the end, it's one of the minor prophets, very near the end of the Old Testament. Page 941. And the chapter I want to look at, the verse I want to look at, is found in Habakkuk chapter 2. Now, I need to explain about this prophet to make any sense of what you're going to hear in this reading. Habakkuk is prophesying in the roughly in the same time as Jeremiah, a bit before Ezekiel. In other words, he's at the end of Judah's life, but Judah's going to go into captivity because of its sin. Jeremiah is a preacher, a prophet at that time, and so is Habakkuk. And Habakkuk is interesting because he, in his prophecy, tells us how he approached God about this. And he prayed to God about this. He saw what was going on in Judah. If you look at chapter 1, which is the previous page, you will see in the first few verses, if depending on what Bible you've got over mine, it says Habakkuk's complaint. And he complained to God. And what he says to God is that the law is paralyzed in Judah. He's talking about the people of God. They have the law, but it's going nowhere. Nobody's paying any attention to it. Justice never prevails. He talks about destruction and violence. He talks about justice being perverted. He sees a dreadful spiritual condition in Judah. And he argues with God about it. And he tells God how distressing it is to him. And he really saying to God, I want you to do something about it. I think that's a word for us. And I'm talking about the country. I couldn't care tuppence about the country in this respect. I'm talking about the churches of Jesus Christ and the preaching of the gospel and all that kind of stuff. And some people might get worried about Habakkuk, you know, because he talks to God in very blunt terms. Why do you tolerate wrong? Look at verse 3 of chapter 1. Why do you tolerate wrong? Why do you make me see this and you do nothing about it? That's what he's saying to God. Now, what do you think of that? Some people perhaps get a bit bothered about that. We should be reverent with God, shouldn't we? We should remember he is in heaven, we're on earth, we should mind our P's and Q's. Well, yes, I agree with all that. But do you know, as I read my Bible, when I read the psalmist, for example, when I read the prophets, I see them talking to God as though they really believed he was listening. And they say to God things like this, wake up. And they say to God, take your hand out of your pocket. Well, it's out of your sleeve, actually, because it's a cloak. Take your hand out of your pocket. Wake up. Do something. Are you offended by that? I believe God loves to hear his people really pray. There's a hymn, children's hymn. Do you know it? I often say my prayers, but do I ever pray? And do the feelings of my heart go with the words I say? My prayers, I'll tell you what mine are like. They're routine. I fall in the same kind of language. All nice jargon. But God wants reality. And Habakkuk gives it to him. And he says to God, I'm fed up with this. Are you going to do something in Judah? My word, my friend, there's a lesson there again. I tell you, if you can't see it, you must be blind. The cause of Christ is going out in this land. Oh, you say it's not. Well, okay, there's some great flowing churches, but I tell you, as I see it, things are in a dire state. Now, you may not agree. That's just a minority of one, but that's me. But if you've got any glimmer of that, then let's do what Habakkuk did. He argues with God about it. I rebuke myself there. Anyway, God speaks back to him. Mustn't take too long. God speaks back to him, and he says, I'm going to do something, but you won't like it. You want me to revive Judah, don't you? Well, I'm not. I'm going to judge her. And you'll see again, if you read the prophet, God says to Habakkuk, I'm going to judge Judah, and you won't like it. I'm going to use the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and they're going to be cruel. I've had enough of it too. It wouldn't surprise me if God has had enough of this land with the gospel. I'll say that again. It wouldn't surprise me. He's got a lot more patience than I've got. And so Habakkuk comes back again. He said, what are you doing that for? He says, they're worse than Judah. And what's more, I'll tell you what they'll do. As soon as they've won, they'll start praising their own weapons. What are you about? God says, I know it. I know it. But I'm still going to do it. And this is what he says here in this answer. Let me just read a few verses. Chapter 2, verse 2. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it, a preacher may preach it. Well, I'm trying to do it now. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it, for it will certainly come and will not delay. See, he is puffed up, the Chaldeans, yes. His desires are not upright. Okay. And this is the text I've got for you. But the righteous will live by his faith. Habakkuk 2 and verse 4. I've got four texts, and there's one. And the first text is this. When Habakkuk, he's a believing man, you see, so I'm speaking to those of us who are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We really do trust Christ. That's what we mean by faith. The Bible means by it. We trust Christ. For our Savior, as our Lord, we've submitted to him. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me. I pant to see you, the Lord Jesus Christ, in your word. You see, that's what we've been singing. We'll close with Ann Steele's hymn on the same thing. Within the scriptures, what do I see? I see Christ. That's what. Now, we're talking to believers. Now, what does God say to us as believers? What did he say to Habakkuk? You're in terrible trouble. You're upset. You're grieved about Judah. You're praying to me. You're arguing with me. You've really got doubts and fears and questions and all the rest of it. Okay, what should you do in such a day as that? The righteous will live by faith. And that's the word for me this morning, brothers and sisters. I don't know whether it is for you. In all my troubles, in all my doubts, in all my difficulties, in all my questions, in my aging, in my infirmities, in some of you got family troubles, some of you got personal troubles, some of you, whatever it might be. Some of us have got church troubles. Some of us got gospel troubles. What do I mean? I've been talking about it. We don't like what we see going on. What are we going to do about it? We cry out to God. Nothing seems to happen. What do we do? We go on, says God, by faith. He tells him, wait for the promise. It's coming. It might not seem like it, but it is coming. Now, I don't know whether God's going to revive us in this land. I doubt it. But I do know that the Lord Jesus is coming back. My faith gets tried there, but I'm still going to go on by God's grace and believe it. And he's going to raise the dead. It's comforted me in bereavement, as it's comforted you. If it hasn't yet, it might come. Well, it will come. Hang on. Just keep waiting. Well, that's the first text. It'll be very short. I'm going too long already. Is it a word for any brother or sister here this morning? Difficulties, darkness, trials, difficulties, problems, yeah? We walk by faith, brother. Not by sight, sister. We can't see it. Things look black. But God is still on the throne, okay? And he holds the key. Keep trusting. That's the first one. Now another one. The second one. Romans chapter 1. Now that's on page 1129. You'll see the connection in a minute. If you haven't seen the connection already, you'll see the connection in a minute. Romans 1. That's on 1128, sorry. 1128. All right, I'm going to read a verse or two here. Romans 1, and I'm going to start at verse 14. And it's the apostle writing to the Romans, And this is what Paul says. I am bound both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That covers us all then, doesn't it? That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. Well, that rings up a few chords. We were talking about that just now. Bill was saying to me about the gospel's needed. Well, you're going to get it whenever I stand up, I hope. That is why I am so eager, he says, to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel. That's putting it mildly. Because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. And to prove it, he quotes a text, just as it is written. Guess what text he quotes? Habakkuk 2 and verse 4. The just, or here the righteous, will live by faith. So that's the second text, but it's the same text. Paul is showing us here how to read the Old Testament. Here's the prophet. Now he's talking about Babylon and the Chaldeans and Judah. But Paul uses that text and he says there's a principle here. And I'll tell you what that principle is. The just or the righteous will live by faith. Now he's using that text here. It's a word from God. And he's using that word from God in a different way to what Habakkuk took it. That's the beauty of the word of God, you know. If you noticed it, you can read the Bible one day, see a text and it says something to you. You can read it tomorrow and it says another thing to you. Other books don't do that, but the Bible does. You will find that the things it said to you when you were a young believer, it's saying different things to you now. It's still the word of God, but it's gone on a bit. You've gone on a bit. Now, what does Paul use here? How does he use it here? Well, I haven't got time to deal with it. There's a lot of sermons in there, but I'm just going to give a brief, just a very, very brief talk on it. I don't know if I've told you, but do you know what Martin Luther said about this text? You've heard of Martin Luther. He was the great reformer. Do you know what Martin Luther said about this text, the one I just read to you? The gospel, in verse 17, in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. Do you know what Luther said about that? He said, I hate that text. He says something else about it too. He said, I hate the God of that text. Ah, no. That was when he was a monk. That's when he was a monk at Wittenberg. That's when he was a professor of theology at the University of Wittenberg. And he announced that he was in the next term, whatever you call it in those days, in the next session he was going to teach through Romans. But he said, I've got a problem. And the problem is Romans 1, verse 17. He said, I hate that text. And I hate the God of that text. So I don't know how I'm going to teach Romans. Why did he say that? Well, he was a monk. He was an Augustinian monk. And therefore, with his upbringing and with his experience, he knew he was a sinner. Nobody had to tell him. He knew. He was desperately anxious about it. He was at the end of his tether, you know. He knew in the law, when he read the law, the Old Testament, he knew that God was absolutely holy and condemned sinners. He knew that, and he was a sinner, and he knew that God condemned him. So he looked into the gospel, and he thought that he'd find something different. But he came across this text, and this is what this text said. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. And this is what the Augustinians taught, and this is what Luther believed as a young man, that God in the gospel shows how righteous he is. There's some truth in that. Luther said that drove him mad. Why? He said, when I look at the law, I see how righteous God is, and I'm afraid of it. I had hope for something else. But when I look at the gospel, I see that he's even more righteous now. And it drives me mad. And in such a spirit, he was in Rome. And he was on his knees, because he thought that was the way to get right with God. He was on his knees climbing a certain staircase, stone staircase. On his knees, praying on every stair. And this flashed into his mind. The just shall live by faith. What, Lord Habakkuk? Yes. And the penny dropped. Augustine was wrong. Or the Augustinians are wrong. In the gospel, God doesn't reveal his righteousness. He reveals a righteousness for sinners. If only they will trust his son, they will get the righteousness of Jesus. It was what Luther was looking for. Of course, he loved the text now. He understood it. The gospel doesn't tell us how righteous God is. Well, it does, but that's not its point. The gospel tells us that God is willing to take the worst of sinners and make them as perfect as Jesus, as long as they believe. He'll wash them from every sin, and he'll lay to their account every glory of Jesus. Of course, now he could teach Romans, couldn't he? He understood it. Martin Lloyd-Jones in the 40s and 50s was asked, when will you give us some sermons? When are you going to take Romans? He said, when I understand Romans 6. Okay. Luther could say, when I understand Romans 1:17. When he understood it, and it's old Habakkuk again. My friend, you're a sinner, and so am I. And we need to be right with God. And Habakkuk tells us. Our Bible says here, by faith, first from first to last. That's a very difficult phrase to translate. Maybe that isn't quite right, but I think it's pretty good. Whatever it is, my friend, it's faith. We have to just simply trust Jesus. Not our works. Not our chapel going. Not our baptism, nothing. Just Jesus. Not ourselves, Jesus. Now, this is a true story. There used to be a man sitting in this room. Some of you will know, no names, but some of you know what I'm talking about. There used to be a man sitting in this room. He's not here now. He was a very old man when I'm talking about it. He'd been in this chapel a long time. But I'll be frank with you, you may not like it. I have my severe doubts whether he had a faith in Jesus Christ, whether he was converted. Oh, you shouldn't judge. Don't you expect your doctor to look at you and weigh you up and about your illness? Well, don't you expect preachers to do that? Do I preach with my eyes closed? And after I preached here one Sunday morning, somebody next to him, or behind him, said, when were you a Christian? When did you become a Christian? When were you converted? And used his name. His answer is very illuminating. He said, my mother brought me here when I was a baby. A baby brought mother here. Being a Christian, apparently, was coming to a chapel. Being a Christian, apparently, has something to do with your mother. Being a Christian has something to do with being brought. Baby, chapel, but all the rest of it. My friend, you can go around Buckingham Palace. You've been around Buckingham Palace, some of you. You're not made royal by that, are you? You've been to the Houses of Parliament? That makes you an MP? I don't think so. My friend, it's not coming to chapel. It's not being brought. It's trusting Jesus. It's trusting Jesus. I'm not saying a word against chapels or mum and dad bringing you to chapel. I'm not saying a word against that. But I am saying quite a lot of words on the faith, on the point of this text. The just shall live by faith. Better get on. Next text, Galatians 3. By the way, have you got faith in Christ? Well, then you're not right with God, then, are you? I plead with you, get it right now. Just look to Jesus. Galatians chapter 3, and that's page 1170. I'll be very brief on this one, because you never guess. Paul's going to do it again, and he's going to repeat himself. He doesn't mind saying the same thing over and over again, you see. He's telling the Galatians this time. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. That's what I've just been saying. All who rely on going to chapel, being baptized, or whatever it might be. That doesn't get us right with God. For it's written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified right with God before God by the law. Because the right... Oh, here he goes again. He's quoting old Habakkuk again. The righteous will live by faith. I don't need to say any more about that. I've just said it. You want to be right with God? You need to be. There's only one way. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. One last text and then we finished. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. That's page 1208. Hebrews chapter 10, page 1208. I started off with a word for believers. In our troubles and trials and difficulties, we live by faith, brother and sister. Faith in the promises of God. I am trusting, resting on the promises of God. That comes into my mind. In that chorus or that hymn, I am resting on the promises of God. That's what Habakkuk's about. Then I went to Romans, then I went to Galatians, and that's how to be right with God. Same text. Now we come to this one. Hebrews chapter 10, page 1208, verse 19. What Paul is doing here, what the writer is doing here, he's writing to these believers, these Jewish believers, who are in danger of leaving Jesus Christ. They're in danger of backsliding and going back to the old covenant, to Judaism. And over my Bible, it's got up here a call to persevere. And if you look from verse 19, he's urging them, do not go back. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence and so on, let's go on with Jesus. You read it for yourself and see. The next paragraph, verse 26. Don't go back. Don't go back to sinning. Verse 32. Remember those earlier days. And he talks there about their sufferings for Jesus and how they suffered the confiscation of all their property, and still they had held on to Jesus. Don't go back. Now, verse 35. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere. This is a word for me, brother. Word for you, sister. This is a word for us believers. We need to persevere. Hold on to the end. When I was baptized, they sang this chorus to me. That's in 1956. They sang this chorus to me. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Paul said, I've endured to the end. I've kept the faith. I'm keeping my eye on Christ. I'm going to finish. So don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Go on by faith, brother. Go on by faith, sister. Go on. For in just a very little while, he who is coming, I've talked about this, will come and will not delay. But my righteous one, hang on, this is Habakkuk again. But my righteous one will live by faith. You see, he's quoting Habakkuk again. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. So, Habakkuk had a word. Paul used it. And so did this writer. And there's been four little discourses this morning, and you're bound to be in there somewhere. Because you're a believer or an unbeliever. No neutrals. And if you're a believer, what have you been told? You're going to get troubles and trials and difficulties. And what are you going to do in all that? You're going to persevere looking by faith, aren't you, to Jesus. You're going to go on trusting the promises of God. Every day. You'll go to bed trusting the promises, and you'll get up trusting the promises. We walk by faith, you see. And if you're an unbeliever, the way to be right with God is by faith in Jesus Christ. So do it. You've heard of old Spurgeon, one story. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. You've heard of Spurgeon. A lady came to him one day and she said, "Mr. Spurgeon, will you tell me the way I can be converted?" And his answer was this: "No. No." Hey? Spurgeon said, he said. He said, "I've told you so many times." He told her over and over again. He said, "I'm not going to tell you again. Just go and do it." Go and do it. In Southwold, in Suffolk, there's a property there that people can hire. I've hired it, and I used to hang my pictures there and sell them. But over the mantelpiece there is a little motto: "Do ye next thing." What does it mean? Do the next thing. Don't worry about tomorrow. Do the next thing now. That's what it's saying. Get on with it. And in the gospel, that's what I'm saying to you. Now is the time. Do it now. That's what Habakkuk... Now, isn't it wonderful? I can't help but say, isn't it wonderful? There's old Habakkuk there. Let's see. Now, that must be about 2,500 years ago. Think of that. 2,500 years ago, here he was in terrible trouble, and God gave him this little text: "The righteous will live by faith." That's good, he said. I'll write that down. 500 years later, Paul. He saw that. And he preached two sermons on it. The writer of the Hebrews saw it. And he preached on it. And in 2016, I've preached on it. And it's being recorded. And if it comes out, it'll go on the internet. And maybe in 50 years' time, somebody will be hearing it. And it's still true. The just shall live by faith.